Inter are into the Champions League final for the first time in 13 years. A same city derby win over AC Milan, thanks to a strike from Lautaro Martinez, secured a 3-0 aggregate victory. It means the Nerazzurri will face either Manchester City or Real Madrid. We'll preview that game and analyse all the action from Stadio San Siro in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. Delighted to say former Juventus and England striker Leanne Sanderson is alongside me to break down Tuesday night's action. Leanne, at the time of recording, full-time whistle has just gone. What are your immediate thoughts about what we've seen with this 1-0 win for Inter?
I think it was a perfect performance from Inter. I think Simeone Inzaghi set them up really, really well. They were organised, they were on the front foot. It's not an easy thing to do to go into that game being 2-0 up, because we spoke about it before, the first goal was going to be crucial, but I think they controlled the whole game from minute one. They had better quality. They showed, like, they seemed like they wanted it a little bit more, and the quality was just there from Inter. And obviously, Martinez will get all the plaudits because he scored the goal, and I thought he had a brilliant game. But I think overall, Inter were just better all over the field of play. From minute one, they were just far superior. Last week, the same thing. Two goals in 12 minutes last week. It could have been more. And I think, you know, Richard mentioned it before. As soon as the goal went in, it was almost like formality. The goal's gone in now, 3-0, you know, good night. So, yeah, I feel for Milan, though, because it's not easy going out in a situation like this semi-final, especially on your home turf.
Inter, of course, held a two-goal lead after the first leg. The question going into this was, could their nearest rivals, Milan, come back into the tie on Tuesday night?
Rafael Al gets his head onto it, gets away from Damian, edge of the area, turns one way, goes the other! Oh, he's a whisker away from finding the far corner. Well, you can only keep him quiet for so long. It's a great ball in. Dzeko with the header, and that's a fantastic save from Maignan. Such a vital save. Back it comes. Martinez! And that is surely that. He stands in front of his adoring Internazionale supporters, because he has surely scored the tie-clinching goal. Inter surely heading to the final. Lautaro Martinez with the goal. Inter 1, Milan 0. It is now 3-0 on aggregate.
Lautaro Martinez deserves that. He's been brilliant tonight. He's one-touch play, defending, you know, the celebrations. He's climbed almost into the crowd. You can see what it means to him.
And there is the confirmation. Inter Milan are heading to the UEFA Champions League final. Inter will play Real Madrid or Manchester City in Turkey. Inter 1, Milan 0. Inter go through to the final in Turkey on June the 10th by 3-0 on aggregate.
They certainly do. And commentator Richard Kaufman, you heard him there, joins Leanne and myself. Now, a quick reminder, Rafael Leao was back for Milan. That was the big team news after he was injured in the first leg. But Benacer out after getting injured in the first leg. Inter unchanged. And the Rossoneri, in fairness, Richard, did have a pretty good start to the game.
Yeah, well, first 5-6 minutes, they weren't really into it. Leao hadn't touched the ball. Messias hadn't really touched the ball. And then they slowly got a foothold into the game. And then just past the 10-minute mark, what turned out to be their best opportunity of the game came their way. Tonali, who I think, in terms of wearing an AC Milan shirt, was the best player over the two legs, got away down the left-hand side, cut it across. And there was Brahim Diaz, who decided to go for placement rather than putting his boot right through it with power. And Andre Onana was already kind of falling down to his left-hand side, made it what could have been a difficult save into a comfortable one. And you just think, if that had found the back of the net, what would we be talking about right now? Because that really was as uncomfortable as it got all night, really, for the home team.
The one shot on target.
Yes.
The one shot on target, Leanne.
Yeah, and you'd expect him to put it in the back of the net. I mean, it's difficult because there's one chance and one opportunity, and it's difficult, isn't it? Because you can't say to someone, okay, that's a one chance, but you have to put it away. And I think that does change the momentum of the game. If that goes in, it's 2-1, overall. And I think then Milan might have grown in a little bit of confidence, but they just didn't really have much in the final third with regards to getting the ball to the final third. It almost used to break, it was breaking down before it got to those players. But Brahim Diaz, he doesn't need me to tell him he should have put it in the back of the net, but these things happen. I missed as a centre forward and it happens.
Yeah, Diaz was one of the players who was trying to make things happen, but Inter are so smart defensively. You know, they've got that trio of Italian defenders at the back. They're all so strong and know exactly what their roles are. And it needed someone special to unlock them. And we thought maybe with the return today of Rafael Leao, that would be the case. But from what I saw today, I don't think Leao was fully fit. I can understand playing him when not fully fit, but he only really came to life one moment in that first half,
which was brilliant
yeah, and he nearly scored, but that was it. That's the only thing I can think in a really positive attacking manner that he did in the game itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think also on the flip side, you've got to give credit to Dumfries. I think they doubled up all over the field of play. Whenever Diaz was getting on the ball, there was three or four players around him, and we saw he had to have really low sense of gravity to try and get away from people, and he just couldn't. And I think Inter defended so well. Dumfries could not, Leao couldn't get away from him, could he? He was literally right on him every time he got the ball. And I think that made Leao not really want to know in the second half, because then Dumfries was able to just attack a little bit more.
It was almost, and I know this wasn't the case, and it sounds really a stupid thing to say, but when you're watching the game, it almost felt like there was always another Inter player on the pitch, like it was 12 against 11. It wasn't, but that's how it felt watching it. You didn't really fully believe that Milan believed that they would score. Obviously, they hoped they would. They tried their best to do it, but there was a superior team tonight, and all credit to Inter that they were not just superior by a short margin over the two legs, by some distance. 3-0 over the two legs doesn't flatter them.
In that first half as well, there was the headed chance for Dzeko, brilliantly saved by Mike Maignan, who'd be up for goalkeeper of the competition, I think. And you were keen to point on Dzeko and the way the front two were functioning, Leanne, just how hard they were working without the ball and how good Dzeko was when it did get up to him. Because, of course, the question was, there was no doubt he was going to start. Lukaku came to the team and scored two at the weekend against Sassuolo.
Yeah, I think Dzeko and Martinez were doing they were doing exactly what Simeone and Inzaghi would have wanted them to do. Different type of game, drawing fouls. Whenever they were getting the ball, they always seemed to get out of the situations. On the other side, Diaz couldn't do that because he was getting outnumbered, whereas Dzeko and Martinez always seemed to get out.
He did that brilliantly. He did it around three players at one point.
Yeah. And it's not easy thing to do, to turn a player. You know, you got them so close to you. But I think they did an amazing job at doing that defensively. And I think, like I said before, like, this isn't a foregone conclusion that Manchester City or Real Madrid are going to win this competition, because Inter setups, they're so organised. They're so hard to break down. And I know people, the fans of Milan, will be disappointed they've not gone through. But got to give credit to Inter, because they just couldn't get through them. They couldn't.
Yeah, I know Napoli are a fantastic team to watch, but I can't believe Inter haven't made it a closer title race.
I was just
in Italy,
that, Richard,
and they've lost 11 times. I mean, look what happened in the first game. Milan lost a player early on in the match, and you just felt like, who are they going to bring on? Okay, they're a bit weaker now. Calhanoglu, Mkhitaryan has to go off injured in the first half. And they bring on Brozovic. I'm not sure it made them any weaker, really. No disrespect to Mkhitaryan, who scored a goal, could have had two in the first leg. But Brozovic sat. Calhanoglu then pushed further a little bit forward. Barella was purring and, you know, having the touch of an angel out there on the pitch. I mean, the times he brought it down and controlled it. I can't believe he's ever mistimed a pass or miscontrolled a ball. I'm sure he has in his career, but he's a joy to watch. So everywhere you look, you know, you mentioned Lukaku came off the bench in the second half. We'll talk about that in a moment. But there seems to be that depth which Milan don't have. And, you know, what does Pioli do? I mean, I felt like he had one hand tied behind his back, because you'd say, oh, you know, things aren't going your way, bring on this guy, bring on that guy. But there wasn't really anyone I felt that he could bring on that would necessarily up the tempo and make them any better.
Well, Divock Origi, you look at what he's done in this competition before, and in a semi-final for Liverpool, no less, in this competition. But obviously, he hasn't played that much this season, so throwing him in, it's tough. Whereas this fast tracks us quite nicely to the change on 65 minutes, where Dzeko comes off for Lukaku, and that strength in depth, Lukaku involved, of course, later in the goal. But it just showed that just little bit extra that Inter seemed to have overall.
Yeah, it did, because I think sometimes the misconception is when you make a substitution, they're going to instantly impact the game. You'd hope that as a manager, but it isn't always easy to get up to the speed of play. And I thought Romelu Lukaku and Gosens did a very good job of that. I think he did exactly what Inzaghi would have wanted, because you're not happy as a player when you're sitting on the bench. You're not. You want to start in these games. You want to play. But I felt like Lukaku's attitude and application was excellent. Running the channels, purposeful running, drawing free kicks. You know, doing exactly what he's paid to do, but it's easier said than done coming on in a game like this. And I thought he was excellent, and the strength and depth in the end showed, because Milan just didn't really have that, did they? The luxury of bringing on those types of players.
You know, we love the old football cliche, you know, it's a derby, form book goes out the window, but it didn't, did it, really? The Derby della Madonnina certainly went to the form book, because, you know, Inter came into this having won 7 games in a row. Milan had got beaten at the weekend to Spezia. I think they'd only won 3 of their last 10. And you could see the confidence, or on one side, the lack of confidence on the other side. You mentioned Lukaku, but he's 14 goals in 21 games, you know, for club and country coming into this. That's a substitute guy that cost them, well, they sold for €115 million to Chelsea, and then get him back on loan for this campaign as well. You know, he's missed a fair chunk of the campaign because of injury, which is why maybe he is starting today on the bench, because Dzeko's done so well in his absence. And, you know, when you have that confidence flowing through players, Dzeko, scorer last week, 20-odd goals in 7 wins in a row, only conceding 3, there's that big self-confidence. Now, if they can bottle this, Inter, win their last few games of the season, keep this winning run going on, yeah, they're going to make Real Madrid or Manchester City the favourites in the final, but this Inter team will believe they're destined to win this title.
Yeah, I was impressed with Inter. I think a lot of people will focus on probably the fact that Milan just didn't really show up, but I think you've got to give credit to Inter, the application, the game. It was probably the perfect match for Inzaghi. You know, if he was going to say, oh, I'll bring on these players in the 60th minute and I hope that we're winning the game, that's what happened. You know, they were
like
already
a realistic
in control.
Scripting.
Yeah, it was
of
almost
happen,
like, yeah, exactly what would have needed to happen happened. And I think they managed the game well. Sometimes in these types of games, in semi-finals, you know, I've played in enough of them, your emotions can take over. It's a massive game. Can you imagine the atmosphere playing at the San Siro in front of all those people? You know, your fans away, you're the home team 1 minute. Like, it is incredible. So you have to manage those expectations. And I just think Inter did that over the 2 legs. I think they looked superior from the first leg. They really, and you've got to give them credit for that. And Inzaghi credit for that, because it's easy doing, you know, the game plan and setting them up, but they have to, the players have to implement that. And I think that's where Milan fell short tonight. I don't think they had a game plan that was able to combat Inter's effectiveness going forward.
We had the wonderful choreography and tifo pre-match. We live victory, the message in Italian, around the bowl in blue and black. And there were brilliant celebrations at full time as Inter's players savoured the moment with each other. I think Barella was in tears as he was hugging the cool and calm looking Lautaro Martinez. You made a point there that I want to pick up on, Leanne, and that is Lukaku's role. And obviously, he's been injured for much of the season. It was an issue for him at the World Cup with Belgium. But there does seem to be a humility about knowing what his role is in the team. And I imagine as a centre-forward, when you want to be the centre of attention, the main person scoring the goals, it takes a little bit of something to be able to say, I'm not starting again in the Champions League sign-up, but I can still have an impact, I'm still important.
Yeah, it is, and it's not an easy thing to do when you're scoring those goals, but Richard mentioned it before, you know, you can't bench Dzeko, who scores goals as well, and it's a competition for places. I'm sure Inzaghi would love to fit them all in at once, but that's just not possible at this moment in time. And I think Romelu Lukaku, with the way his career, you know, he's out on loan, he comes back to Milan, he will just be happy to be in the Champions League final, you know, and potentially they could win it. Who's to say they can't? So, you know, as a player, you want to play every minute of every game, but I think you're right. There's a sense of humility being able to play that role, come off the bench and, you know, show the manager that you're not sulking and do your job. And I think he did that excellently well. I really do. And credit to Romelu Lukaku for that.
It is 8 wins in a row now for Inter. And in 6 of their last 7 games against Milan, they've kept a clean sheet. Maybe they just, even in Milan, knew that things were going to be against them to score that decisive goal on the night.
Yeah, 4 wins in a row against them this season, and they haven't conceded a single goal in those 4 wins since Milan won the September derby 3-2 earlier this season. But look, we, you know, as you mentioning, Leanne, Milan weren't the team that we hoped them to be, but it's hard to tell, isn't it, how that's because Inter was so good. And I think those first 11 minutes in the first leg just proved to be the foundation for what we saw tonight. So, look, we turned up today saying you never say never, you know, Milan, if they could score the first goal, maybe, you know, the mentality changes, but they never got that first goal and it ended up with Martinez putting the ball in the net first for anyone.
Inter are the first club to reach a Champions League final despite finishing as runners-up in their groups since both Liverpool and Spurs did it in 2019. And a return to the Champions League final for Inter for the sixth time, the first time since they beat Bayern in the 2010 showpiece.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because you finished second in your group, but they were in a group with Bayern Munich.
They were probably third favourites.
And Barcelona.
Group,
I mean,
they?
when the draw was made, there were Inter fans going, oh, well, that's us done for the UEFA Champions League this season. Yet here we are. They're still going in the competition in June.
They'll be booking their flights to Istanbul, I'm sure, right this second. And they would have been forgiven for in the 60th minute if they were just checking the prices of the hotel rooms too. Okay, still to come, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday night's action in the UEFA Champions League semi-finals.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So Inter are headed to Istanbul. Who will join them in the final on Saturday, the 10th of June? On Wednesday night, we will find out. John Bradley sets the scene.
The holders against many people's favourites for this season's Champions League. It didn't disappoint in Madrid 7 days ago.
Camavinga brings it forwards, knocks it infield to Vinicius Junior. Good goal! Oh! That is a stunner! Madrid do what they do best!
Vinicius Junior's wonder strike was a thing of beauty. Kevin De Bruyne's leveller was equally as special.
Gundogan back for De Bruyne! Oh! That is a beauty from Kevin De Bruyne to pull Manchester City level in style! It's an absolute bullet from the Belgian beyond Thibaut Courtois!
So it's 1-1 before the return in Manchester. With 19 semi-finals between them, Pep Guardiola and Carlo Ancelotti have been here before.
You have to be able to play like we play tonight. I don't know if it's possible.
You learn a lot for the first. Hopefully we can learn and defend better and attack better.
Neither coach will take anything for granted, given the extraordinary drama that both clubs served up in the second leg a year ago.
Benzema at the far post puts it across, and they've got one back! Real Madrid have a lifeline, it's Rodrigo! Surely Real Madrid can't do this again. Carvajal, can he get the cross in? Yes, he can! They've scored! Rodrigo's done it again! Unbelievable!
It was Real Madrid who reached the final 12 months ago on their way to yet another European crown, who will be celebrating in 2023. We've got the whole game live right here on the show from 9 p.m. CEST.
John Bradley reporting there. Of course, Manchester City suffered a dramatic late exit to Real Madrid at this stage of the competition last year. But their head coach, Pep Guardiola, says he's going to keep things simple for his players in a bid to overcome the current champions.
Hopefully you can see tomorrow. I cannot tell you here, otherwise Carlo will be... it's nothing special, eh? So don't think I'm going to do... I'm not overthinking tomorrow. Don't worry, guys. So nothing differently that we have done in the past. It just to our game be more fluid and play a little bit better, knowing that, of course, the opponents always have the weapons.
He says, he jokes, he's not going to overthink it, but you never know if he's going to pull a tactical surprise out of the bag. In terms of team news for City, they beat Everton 3-0 at the weekend. They appear to be on the brink of a fifth Premier League title in six seasons after Arsenal. Their nearest challengers were beaten. The team news, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Stones and Grealish all rested for the starting lineup of the weekend, expected to come back in. The only absentee Guardiola confirmed in his press conference on Tuesday is Nathan Ake, who has been superb this season. There is arguably no one in football more experienced at leading teams into this kind of occasion, though, than Real Madrid's Carlo Ancelotti. He's been talking about what he expects from his players on a night like tomorrow.
I think the match is unpredictable. Also, if you are thinking that you are the best team in the world, it doesn't give to you the 100% sure that you are going to move, because it's not only a problem of quality, this kind of game. When you reach a semi-final, it's also a problem of personality, character, mentality that you are able to show on the pitch. It's not only a problem of quality.
Carlo Ancelotti has also said there will be periods of suffering, which is normal in a match like this, and they had those moments in the first leg, which finished 1-1 at the Bernabeu. In terms of team news for Real Madrid, they can make wholesale changes, not really playing for much in the league now because Barcelona are champions. Eight changes, although Camavinga, who kept his place in the starting 11, did come off with a knee injury. Ancelotti, though, says he's fine, it's 100% stable, it's nothing, so we'll likely see him back at left back. Eder Militao returns from suspension. Leanne Sanderson and Richard Kaufman alongside me to look ahead to this one. Leanne, is this a meeting of the two best teams in Europe right now, do you think? And I know we've just seen Inter reach the final, so I know that question's a little bit loaded, but do you think City and Real Madrid are the strongest about right now?
Probably. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think we're seeing two of the best managers we've ever seen in football, Carlo Ancelotti and Pep Guardiola. I think it's interesting because it almost feels like now is the time for City. I said, I don't think you can be considered the best team ever, the best team in the world, unless you win the Champions League. And I think it's interesting because Manchester City are always the favourites to win this competition, although they've never won it. So I think Real Madrid, you can never write them off, the quality that they have in this team. But it just feels like Manchester City are peaking at the right time. You know, they gone back to the top of the Premier League. I know everyone thought that was a formality, but I was probably one of the only people that expected Arsenal to probably do it and get it across the line. But they're mentality beasts, Manchester City, and they get the job done when it really matters, and it feels like they're peaking at the right time. Haaland, I know Rudiger did a good job on him last week, but Haaland's a top player. Jack Grealish, all of them, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, I mean, the talent is just endless.
Yeah, and that maybe as well coming off the bench too. Look, we talked about tonight that they, in terms of big matches in the UEFA Champions League, the Inter-Milan game was an experience. You know, Inzaghi and Pioli, not a single semi-final of the UEFA Champions League between them. I think it's 19 between Ancelotti and Guardiola.
That is crazy.
So, you know, we're talking about experience off the pitch, experience on the pitch. So they've got big game players that have been there and done it. When I say done it, however, for Manchester City, not in the colour of Manchester City shirts. So there'll be that slight self-doubt maybe hanging over Manchester City. And I say slight on purpose, because this is a team that's purring. This is a team that's, you know, claw back what at some one point was a 10-point lead for Arsenal in the English Premier League. Now pretty much got the title wrapped up. They're ahead in the tie as well. They've looked so much in command in every single match they've had so far in the UEFA Champions League, particularly in the knockout stages. It's going to have to take a really good Real Madrid performance. They are capable of it, but they're going to have to be really at it to stop Manchester City.
Guardiola, interesting in his press conference today, he's not underselling the magnitude of this game to his players. He says, tomorrow is one of the most important games since I've been here. We cannot deny that. I've told the players to enjoy it. We must feel incredibly lucky to be here. It's in our hands. We just need to win one game and we reach the final. However, he added, Leanne, we have to do better than at the Bernabeu. The emotion is there and it has to be high, but we have to perform well. What do you think of his assessment of how they played in that first leg a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with players like Kevin De Bruyne, he's one of the best players in the world, anything is possible. But I do think with regards to Real Madrid, we know how good they are. They've got top quality players, Luka Modric, you know, Toni Kroos, and a lot of their players, Karim Benzema, can hurt you in the blink of an eye. So they need to stay
focused.
You
got this far without mentioning it.
But this isn't a foregone conclusion, this game. Yeah. I know it's obviously going to be at City, but it isn't. And we know this Real Madrid team, whenever you say they're not going to win, they do. When anybody writes them off, when they're behind, they come back again. So Manchester City, they can do it, but they have to be switched on for the whole of the 90 minutes. Even if they go two up, it's almost like you can't take your foot off the gas with Real Madrid. You can't, because they just seem to be able to do it. So the quality is there with Real Madrid. I think it's going to be an amazing game. I really do.
Yeah, the two goals last week were such good strikes, weren't
they? Yeah, pretty good.
Such good quality. Look, yeah, we know that Manchester City will be the slight favourites, but I honestly wouldn't want to call it, because I've seen Real Madrid do it time and again.
You did last year, Richard.
They were out. They were out. They were gone. Same team, Manchester City. They were through, and then it just crumbled. And Real Madrid have this competition. There's a magic and an aura about them in it. Manchester City have got to try and put that to the side and say, look, you know, they've got to have that superiority complex.
Yeah.
And hopefully, and I know he mentioned in the press conference, no kind of tinkering strange decisions for Guardiola. Play his strongest team, play his players in their strongest positions, and let them go out and do what they've been doing so well the last few months.
I feel like he's reaping the rewards of this system that he's developed this season. Quick one, Leanne. Quick two. Do you play Rudiger or do you bring Eder Militao back into the team?
I play Rudiger because I think he did a really good job on Haaland. I can understand why maybe people are saying Militao, but I'd keep Rudiger in the lineup.
Something we touched upon on the show last week was the fact that City are at home. As an advantage, of course, in general, to be at home in the second leg, isn't it? You talked about this earlier on the show, Leanne. City will have a lot of the ball. Do you think it opens it up for someone like Vinicius Junior and City to be Real Madrid to be devastating on the counter-attack?
I do, but I think Kyle Walker will nullify that. I think he's been brilliant. I know Vinicius Junior scored last week and I love him. I think he's brilliant. And it's difficult because these two teams are so similar with regards to the quality of the individuals that, you know, it's almost like they have to pray that one of them has an off day. And then they can capitalize on that because their consistency, the levels they play at, are so high that
standard
they very rarely.
Crazy last
Kevin De Bruyne, like, he never has a bad game, I don't think, ever. I'm sure he does, you know, but we don't really see it very often. And these types of players, they're playing like 8s and 9s out of 10s every game. So individually, I think it's going to be an incredible game.
Quick one on Walker versus Vinicius Jr. This from the press conference. Kyle Walker did the. People may have seen Kyle Walker and Vinicius Jr. embracing each other at full time like old friends. Walker said, "Boxers have a fight and then shake hands after. That's how it felt with Vinicius. You show your respect after the whistle, but before then, it's dog eat dog." And we'll see it on Match Day Live. You'll hear it on Match Day Live on Wednesday night. Let's quickly turn it back to the Nerazzurri, the first team into this season's Champions League final. Outstanding performer on the night. Head and heart is saying Lautaro Martinez. Is there much arguing with that, Richard? Leanne?
The only other player that I would say would be in Vichai is Barella. He'd be the only other player, but I think because Lautaro Martinez scored and he was brilliant as well, so I'm happy with your decision.
Fine, yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm happy to go with that. Yeah, I mean, it was a good team performance from Inter throughout from... Oh, no, I didn't really have too much to do, but really outfield players at least, they were all superb, but Martinez so busy, so good, and then the finish to finish it.
And do you think they believe they can win whoever they play in the final in Istanbul?
I do. I think at the end of the day, you get there, anything can happen. They've got to this position and no one expected them to be in the semi-final, let alone the final. So I think they'll make it difficult for whoever gets there tomorrow.
Yes, everyone will say their opponents will be the favourites, but you're in the final. It's you or them. And the way they're going right now, 8 wins in a row, they'll be thinking it's them.
Richard, Leanne, thank you very much for your company and what has been a special night in the UEFA Champions League, because Inter are the first team to book their place in this year's final in Istanbul. 2-0 winners in the first leg in San Siro less than a week ago. They came back as the home team this time and got the job done. Lautaro Martinez with the goal in the second half. Inter deserved winners over the two legs. They were outstanding, and the Trattoria are back in the Champions League final for the first time since they won it against Bayern in 2010 with Jose Mourinho as head coach. Will Simone Inzaghi be the first Italian to win it with the club? Man City, Real Madrid on Wednesday. We can't wait for it on Match Day Live.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.